Well, let's pray. Father, we just humble ourselves before you, Lord, and we, Lord, acknowledge that we need you, that we need your touch in our life. We need you, Lord, to speak to us. And I pray, Father, that you help me, Lord, to say exactly what you'd have me to. And Lord, that we would just have ears to hear, to receive, to be pliable, to be changeable. Lord, that your word would accomplish all that you've sent it to do in our hearts and lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about attitude. You know, most of us who are parents, we've had the occasion to talk to our kids about attitude. Maybe you remember when you were a kid, did you ever get an attitude adjustment? I had a whole lot of those, by the way. But you know, by the time that we're teenagers, when someone else tries to adjust your attitude, it usually has the opposite effect. Now, have you encountered some adults, maybe, that you wanted to give an attitude adjustment to? Don't do that. It's ineffective, and you probably will not get the desired results. Now, once we are a little older, if we're going to get an attitude adjustment, we're going to have to do it ourselves. So I want to encourage you this morning. Be open to the Lord. Allow Him to speak to you. Allow Him to do a work in your life. Strange as it might seem to this world, the Lord can change your life through a simple message like what I'm going to share with you today. This simple message could absolutely affect the rest of your life. It can impact your family, your workplace, your school. It can impact the eternity of other people. Attitude. Can attitude really be that important? Listen, attitude isn't everything, but it's a real key to us living the life that God wants us to live and being successful in every area of life. So what exactly is attitude? It is the summation and overall pattern of the way that you think and feel about something. John Maxwell, popular speaker, author, and leadership guru, he wrote a book called The Difference Maker. And the book is all about attitude. Attitude can be the difference maker. So often, the difference between success and failure, it's attitude. It's the difference between reconciliation and division. It's the difference between happy and miserable. Listen, there are lots of people who are happy that don't have everything going right for them in life. And there are people that seem to have everything going their direction and yet they're still not happy. It's attitude. It affects every area of our life. You know, our attitude usually shows in our actions, in our words, and even in our facial expression. You ever said to your child, "Don't have that attitude with me," and it was just the look on their face that told you what attitude they had. But you know, our attitudes affect or infect every part of our life. John Maxwell says, your attitude colors every aspect of your life. It's like the mind's paintbrush. See, it can have an impact on whether or not you have friends. The Bible says if you want to have friends, you got to show yourself friendly. Well, if you have a nobody likes me attitude, you will put people off just by being aloof and distant. It will totally affect whether or not, and the quality of friends that you have. If you have a judgmental, critical attitude, I can just tell you, you're not going to have many friends. People don't want to be around you if you're judgmental and harsh all the time. Or maybe if you just don't like people, well, let me tell you, it's your attitude that's keeping you from having friends. If you're having trouble making friends, sometimes you just aren't holding your mouth right. You need to smile. It's that attitude that comes through. Speak and be friendly. Be nice. Be pleasant. Treat people the way you want to be treated and see what happens. Attitude will impact whether or not people like you. Nobody likes a cranky old grump. You know, we watch sitcoms and so many of them have a character who is cranky and grumpy all the time. I mean, they've been doing this for a long, long time. It all goes back. Y'all remember Archie Bunker? Always grumpy, always cranky. And then Everybody Loves Raymond. There was Frank Barone, always cranky, never happy. And it just seems like so many of them have that person, and it's funny, and we laugh about it. But in real life, people don't want to hang around that person who's always cranky and grumpy and never pleasant. I'm just telling you, attitude has a huge impact on our life. Our relationships, our workplace, our home life, your marriage, even at church. Attitude will affect your Christian witness, whether or not you are effective at sharing your faith. Attitude will affect whether or not you are effective in what the Lord calls you and gifts you to do. The first thing we have to know about changing our attitude, if we need a attitude adjustment, is that it's a choice. It's something that we choose. You know, there's a lot of things in this world that we have no control over, but one of the things that we absolutely have control over is our attitude. And I want to tell you that changing your attitude many times is not easy. It can be very difficult, especially when those attitudes are deeply ingrained, and maybe we've had this attitude for many, many, many years, decades even, and it can be a real challenge, a real battle. But I just want you to know that you can change your attitude. It's one of the most important decisions that you make every day, is what your attitude will be. It's more important than your past, your education, how much money you make, your popularity, or what you look like. Your attitude is that important. You can't control a lot of things, but you can make this choice. You know, it's been said this way, it's not the gale, but the sail that determines your course. And it's so true. You can find people from different walks of life where sometimes people go through the same battles and the same challenges, and one comes out in victory and one is defeated. What was the difference? Attitude. But you know, when things don't go the way we want, I don't know about you, but for me, it seems like there's always something that doesn't go the way that I want. There's this opportunity for us to have a negative attitude. But it's also an opportunity for us to choose to have the right attitude, to have a biblical attitude. One Sunday school teacher was telling his class the story of the prodigal son, but he was emphasizing to them the negative attitude of the older brother. And when the prodigal son came home after wasting his inheritance on wild living, the father then restored him as a son. And he said, bring the best robe and put shoes on his feet, a ring for his finger. And they killed the fatted calf to have a big party. But the Sunday school teacher was emphasizing how the older brother was resentful. And so he asked the class, he says, now in all of the rejoicing and the party, does anybody know who did not participate? Who was not happy about the celebration? One little 9-year-old girl said, the fatted calf. Well, if you know the story, it's not good for the fatted. Have you ever felt like the fatted calf? Not just the older brother. There's a lot of older brother Christians. You know, they get grumpy. You know, they don't like it that so-and-so's getting blessed because they don't think that person should be blessed. Why? That's not fair, God. They need an attitude adjustment. But sometimes we might feel like that fatted calf. We just have no control over the events and the things that are happening to us. And yet, I'm telling you, attitude can make the difference. Your attitude is a real key to overcoming in the Christian life and being who God wants you to be. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. I'm going to read this in the NIV today. You know, in 16th century English, there was the word attitude wasn't around, so you won't find it in the King James. But in the NIV here, it says it this way. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And this describes in part for us what baptism symbolizes, that old person that you were died with Christ. And now you've been raised to live a new life in Christ. He says, in righteousness and true holiness. We got to put off that old man, and we have to put on the new man. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of Christians that are still living too much of that old life, still carnal, still living a worldly life. And here's where the problem is. They're missing what makes that connection, what makes that transition. It's that middle verse there. Be renewed in the attitude of your mind. There has to be a change in your attitude about things and the way you look at things. That you're no longer looking at things just with a worldly, carnal mindset and attitude, but you're renewed in the attitude of your mind and you put on that new life. You can change your attitude. If you're a born-again believer, I'm telling you, you're a new creation in Christ. But you need to put on that new attitude. Be renewed in the attitude of your mind. See, that old man, that old nature, that old self is unbelieving. It's critical. It's selfish and prideful. It can be grumpy and lazy. No. If we're going to be like Jesus, we got to put off all of that and be renewed in the attitude of our mind and become that new creation in Christ Jesus. The second thing we need to know about adjusting our attitude is that we want to have a biblical attitude. We're not just talking about being positive and, you know, having a good outlook on life. No, it's much more than that. We want our attitude to line up with the Word of God. Listen to this from Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The thoughts, the King James says, and intents, see, the motives, the attitudes of the heart. The Word of God will give you an attitude adjustment if you'll allow it to. If you'll use the Word of God, it will show you where you need an attitude adjustment. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. And I believe the challenge of the Word of God for us today is not just that we would be positive thinkers, but that we would really allow the Word of God to show us where we need to change our attitude so that we can be all God wants us to be, so that we can truly be effective for Him, so that we can live the life that He has for us. Sometimes the key to overcoming and having success, listen, in your marriage, your job, your schoolwork, your friendships, your involvement in church, in the kingdom, listen, it's being willing to change your attitude. You know, they say one of the signs of crazy is to think that you're going to get different results when you keep doing the same thing. What if it was as simple as this, that sometimes what we needed was just an attitude adjustment? And the Word of God can do that. A few years ago, there were some adventurers who had decided they were going to try to be the first people to circle the globe in a hot air balloon. And they took off from St. Louis, Missouri. They got their balloon up to 24,000 feet, and they made it all the way to Europe. And then they saw that they were about to pass over Libya. And Libya had a very bad, negative attitude towards Americans. They were afraid that they would be shot down. Well, when you're in a hot air balloon, you don't have a steering mechanism. You are at the mercy of the winds. You know, sometimes that's the way life feels. We don't have control over everything that's happening to us. But what they did is they let some of the hot air out of their balloon, and they dropped down to an altitude of 6,000 feet and picked up a crosswind that took them south until they could go around Libya, and then they took the balloon back up and continued heading on their course east. And all it took was an altitude adjustment. And I'm telling you that many times in life, it looks like there's no way that we can win. It looks like that there's no way we can avoid this conflict. And yet, if we would just get an attitude adjustment, there's a way. And I'm telling you, so often in relationships and dealing with other people, it's so true. Got a big conflict going with somebody? Maybe if you adjust your attitude, you can get around it. Now, if you're thinking, no, they're the ones with the problem, but maybe an attitude adjustment will get you around, will get you in a place where you can overcome, in a place where you can go on in victory. Attitude adjustment. I don't know about you, but I don't mind talking about attitude adjustment when you're talking about children. But when we talk about attitude adjustment for us, that's kind of uncomfortable. We probably don't even like the sound of that, do we? But I'm just telling you that sometimes we need to change our attitude, and we can. If you can never get ahead at your job because, well, it's just not fair. If you can't really be used of God because you're never given opportunity, maybe it's time for an attitude adjustment. You choose your attitude. Your attitudes are primarily formed from your thoughts. And it's really difficult to choose the right attitude if you're thinking wrong. Some time ago, there's still a CD series out there in the foyer. I did a series of messages called Rewired. And I'm just telling you that your brain gets wired to think a certain way. And those attitudes get so ingrained in us. The only way to really change that, where our natural response becomes the right response, is to get our thinking lined up with the Word of God. As long as we still think the same old stuff, we're going to find those same old attitudes still coming out in our heart and life over and over again. So the third principle that we need to know about changing our attitude is that we got to get our thinking in line with the Word of God. The Word of God has the power to change the way you think. And it judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. You see, it shows us where we need to change our attitude. So we got to change the way we think. Listen to this from Philippians 4:8. And you decide. You allow the Word of God to judge the thoughts and the attitudes of your heart. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. There are a lot of bad things going on in our world. A lot of immoral things, a lot of unjust things, impure things, unholy things. And it seems like that Christians sometimes are just obsessed with thinking about it and talking about all of the terrible things in this world. And it is no wonder that they are down, that they are discouraged, that they are angry. And the attitude that comes across to the world is not one of love, but one of judgment and anger. You see, it starts right here in our thought life, in the way we think. And if we are all the time thinking about negative things and ugly things and unholy things, and I'm just telling you, it's going to be hard to have the right kind of attitude. So the Bible tells us, in fact, it says it very emphatically. It's commanding us to think on these things. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So it's so powerful, so important what you think. But if you don't change the way you think, it's going to be really hard to have the right attitude. One of the things that's involved in changing the way you think is learning to not allow yourself to constantly be receiving negative input. The Bible says this in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Another translation says, guard your heart. You see, out of your heart is going to come not just actions and words, but the attitudes. So you got to guard your heart. Don't allow junk in your heart. Whatever you think about over and over is going to get down in your heart. Most believers have a word deficit. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. What if you only ate as long as you spend time in the Word each day? Most of us would lose a lot of weight. I mean, you might be able to eat fast, but I'm just telling you, the average Christian in America spends very little time in the Word. And it's amazing, you know, for thousands and thousands of years, the average person, a common person, had no access, couldn't afford, or had no even the opportunity, even if they had lots of money, they didn't have the opportunity to have their own personal copy of the Scriptures. And yet, they cherished the Word of God. They would memorize it. They would meditate it day by day. They just put it down inside of them. And now we have Bibles laying everywhere. We've got it on our iPhone, iPad. You can look at it on the internet. It's everywhere around us. And I don't know if it's just the familiarity of it, but it seems like the more access that we have to the Word of God, I mean, we've got it in 400 different translations now. And yet the more access we have to it, it seems like the less that people pursue after it and hunger for it. And I'm just telling you, we need the Word of God. The Word of God will change. It will correct your attitude. It will show you how to have the right attitude. Psalms 1:1-2 says, blessed is the man. I want to be blessed. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And that last part especially speaks of attitude. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. The word meditate is not some strange thing. It is simply telling us to go over it and over it in our mind, to consider, to ponder, to mentally digest the Word of God. In other words, we don't just read over it mindlessly, but we take the Word of God and we think about it through our day. It might just be one verse, but when you get that verse deep down inside of you, it will change you. It will change your attitude. The Word of God has the power to do that. So we want to have biblical attitudes. I'd like for us to just look at a few examples this morning. And as this is just a few, all right? There are many, many areas that the Word of God will adjust your attitude, if you'll allow it to. But we're just going to talk about a few. First, we need an I can attitude. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I've heard this verse abused in all kinds of silly, frivolous ways, but I want to tell you this verse was written for real life. The situation, the battle, the circumstance that you face that seems like it's too much, this is your attitude. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It is not a self-confidence. It's not just thinking, oh, I'm something, I can do this. No, it is a Christ confidence. It is knowing that no matter what comes my way, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Attitude won't necessarily make you the best at something, but it'll make you better or worse. He calls us all to be overcomers, more than conquerors. You know what? Every coach knows that if you're going to win consistently, you have to have a winning attitude. If you think that you're a loser, you're never going to achieve excellence. You're never going to reach your potential. When you read the scriptures, you see that God used a lot of imperfect people. And in fact, He used some people that, well, frankly, at least at the beginning, they had an I can't attitude, like Moses. And I want you to know that, you know, sometimes you see God uses people like that because they know it's God when it happens. See, we have to always keep this straight. It's not us. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But when Moses was arguing with the Lord about his call, and God kept telling him, I'm going to be with you. And Moses keeps saying, I can't. It angered the Lord. Because I want to tell you, what God calls you to do and what He tells you to do, you can do. Because He will equip you and He will give you what you need to do it. You know, when the Lord called Gideon, he says, my family is the least and I am the least in my family. I mean, you might think you're a nobody. Well, Gideon thought he was below that. But the Lord called him to be a mighty warrior. And I'm just telling you that if you're going to win, if you're going to accomplish all that God has for you, you got to put that old I can't attitude aside and realize that through Jesus, you can do all things. I want to encourage you this morning. You can invite your neighbors to church. Oh, I can't do that. Yes, you can. And I'm telling you, church, our vision is to reach our generation. We want to see changed lives. And I believe we can. That here in Burleson, Texas, we're going to have an impact. We can, church. Next, we need to have an attitude of hope and faith. We ought to always be expecting good things. Listen, a doubting, unbelieving attitude doesn't please the Lord. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. No, it pleases Him when we have that attitude of faith that we're expecting good things. We're expecting a miracle. We're believing God. It changes everything. I'm telling you, it changed whether or not people come to church. Because if people think that God is really going to show up and they're going to have a real experience with the Lord, an encounter with a holy God, if they really believe that people are going to be healed and set free and lives are going to be forever changed, they wouldn't sit home in their pajamas with the Sunday paper. They want to be in church. Not because they were guilted into it or they feel bad because they didn't go, because they don't want to miss it. We should always have that attitude of faith, believing that God is going to move and work and change lives, that God is going to take this situation and somehow turn it around, whatever it might be. Some people are always so negative, they have this attitude where they go, you know, they believe and they confess Murphy's laws. Nothing is as easy as it looks. Everything is going to take longer than you think. If it can go wrong, it will. The other line always moves faster. Have you ever changed lines three times? It never works. The chance of bread falling with the peanut butter and jelly side down is proportionate to the cost of the carpet. No matter what you paid for an item, you're going to find it cheaper somewhere else. A tool dropped while you're working on an automobile will always roll to the dead center of the car. The light at the end of the tunnel is an oncoming train. See, don't expect bad things to happen to you. Don't expect people not to like you. Expect to have favor. Expect God's blessing to be on your life. You know, if you read the Bible, you'll see that there is a lot about David, both before and after he became king. And we read about the great stories of victory, like David and Goliath. We read about those great stories that happened, and we seldom read about all of the battles and heartache, the mistreatment, the wrongs done to him. But David went through more than most of us would in 10 lifetimes. I'm just telling you, he had so much trouble in his life. And yet, this same man in Psalm 23:6, he says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." You see, he had a faith attitude. No matter what had happened to him in the past, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's a faith attitude. Oh, how we ought to say that over our life each and every day. Goodness and mercy are following me. And I'm telling you, God honors faith. Most people operate in fear. They're always, they have an attitude of fear. And some people say, "Oh, I'm not afraid of anything." Then why is all you talk about is about how bad things are and everything? It's bad now and it's only going to get worse. Fear, worry, unbelief. I'm telling you, that attitude is the attitude of the world. We're a people of faith. And we know that God is for us. We know that God is going to take care of us. Jesus says, "No worry." We ought to be the most positive people on the planet. All things are possible with God. Another place he said, "All things are possible to him who believes." So whatever it looks like, it's not too hard for God. We just need to have the attitude of faith. I'm telling you, you find that in the Scriptures. Next, we need to have a cheerful attitude. I'm not talking about a phony, cheesy smile just pasted on your face. I'm talking about something from the heart, that this truly is our attitude. Find it in John 16:33. Jesus says, "In this world you're going to have trouble. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now, when you're having trouble, what are you supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to complain and whine and tell everybody about all the trouble that you're having. No, Jesus said, "Be of good cheer." Now, I want to tell you right now, that old man we talked about earlier that you got to put off, he doesn't like that. But if you're going to live a life of a born-again believer, created in righteousness and true holiness, you will have to change your attitude and get rid of that old guy and say, you know what, I'm not going to be that way anymore. I'm going to be of good cheer. Trouble comes my way, I'm going to be of good cheer, because Jesus has overcome the world so that we could overcome. 1 John 5:4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and that's me. So I'm going to overcome. I'm going to be of good cheer. I'm not going to allow myself to get down in the dumps and complain, but instead I'm going to be of good cheer. You know, my wife is always of good cheer. And I just got to, you know, tell you, if you're like me, and sometimes that just gets on your nerves when people are always cheery, we're the ones that need the adjustment. You know, one morning, and I've told this story, but it just illustrates the point too well. One morning as I was leaving the house, she smiles real big and she says, have a good day. And I said, I've already made other plans. It just, we laughed about it, and I decided to have a little better attitude. I got my adjustment. But I'm just telling you, we're supposed to be joyful, cheerful, happy people. We ought to be the happiest people on the planet. Listen, when Paul was in prison, he wrote this, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And guess who he wrote it for? Us. So from prison he writes, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. This is our attitude. No matter what's going on, we're rejoicing. I don't know about you, but I've been in some bad situations, but I had never had to be in prison, thank God. Now some of you might have been there. You might have been able, like the Apostle Paul, to say, well, I'm rejoicing anyway. But wow, even in the midst of being imprisoned for his faith, falsely accused, listen, this guy says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's the attitude that we're supposed to have. Most people don't like to be around somebody that's always complaining and always whining and always find something to be upset about. No, but they like to be around people that are positive and they're cheerful and happy. The Bible says in Psalm 144:15, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. You see, if our God is the Lord, then there's always something to be happy about. You might have a terrible circumstance or situation, but our God is big enough to take care of it. We just got to keep our eyes on God and quit looking at the circumstances and the problem. Get a biblical attitude. James 1:2 says that when you go through many different kinds of trials, he says, count it all joy. There's a biblical attitude. It's not easy, but I'm telling you, you can learn to choose joy. You can learn to choose to be cheerful, even in adversity. Doctors believe that having a positive attitude is one of the factors in overcoming a serious illness like cancer. Listen, the Bible said that thousands of years before they figured it out. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. You facing a serious illness? Listen, I can just tell you from many years of working in the ministry that when people get down and they feel like there's no way and they just give up, then they don't overcome. But when people have faith and they're still cheerful and rejoicing and believing God, they can overcome. So much of it has to do with attitude. Here's the next biblical attitude we want to check. We should always have a grateful attitude, an attitude of gratitude. That's too easy, isn't it? Listen, if we're thinking the right way, this one's not that hard. The Bible says over and over and over whatever the situation, in everything, give thanks. Whatever we're going through, I'm telling you, you can always find something to complain about. And you can always find something to be grateful for. In everything, give thanks. You know, the Lord likes it when we give thanks. In fact, the Word of God tells us that we enter His gates with thanksgiving in our heart. The Bible tells us it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And I'm just telling you that when we give thanks, it opens the door for the blessings of God. When we are ungrateful, it hinders that flow of blessings in our life. When we are ungrateful, it will hurt your relationships, not only with the Lord, but your relationships with other people when we're ungrateful. One wife had one of those husbands that was ungrateful and hard to please, and no, it's not Carmen, but she determined that she was going to make him happy one morning and fix him a nice breakfast. So she says to him, she says, "Darling, what would you like for breakfast this morning?" And he growled and he said, "Coffee, toast, grits, sausage, 2 eggs, 1 scrambled and 1 fried. Well, she got it ready, and with a big smile, she brought it to him and set it in front of him. And he said, "Well, if you didn't scramble the wrong egg." And you know what? Some people are just that way. It doesn't matter what you do. You can't please them. They never appreciate anything. Don't be one of those people. I mean, if you call yourself a Christian, don't be like that. Listen, everybody likes to be appreciated. Appreciate people. Say thank you. Be a grateful person. That's the attitude that we should have. Next, we should always have an attitude of excellence. In everything we do our very best. A lazy attitude will hold you back. Be a hard worker. Always give it your best. Don't ever think that it doesn't matter. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." You see, you might think that your job is unimportant. You might think that you're underpaid. But you're not just working for men. You're working for God. And so whatever you do it as unto the Lord. You give it your very best. That's the right attitude. That's a biblical attitude. And especially when it comes to the things of God. Don't ever give God your second best. Don't give the work of the Lord a half-hearted effort. But always give your very best. And as a church, we want to strive to do everything that we do with excellence. Listen, we might not have the money, or maybe we don't have a big shot pastor like some churches, but I'm just telling you, we ought to do the best we can with what we got. Have an attitude of excellence. It worked for Daniel. When Daniel was in captivity, he had an excellent spirit, the Bible says, and he was promoted. And God used him because he had that excellent spirit. And, you know, the man Joseph, this young man who was mistreated and sold as a slave and then falsely accused and put into prison, but you know what? Wherever he went, he rose to the top. Now, it may not seem like that big a deal to, you know, to get to be in charge in prison, but wherever he was, that spirit of excellence in him caused him to be successful wherever he was. And then God used him, put him as second in command in Egypt, and God used him to save the whole known world. Always do your best. No matter where you are, what you're doing. Last, we need to always have a loving attitude. What's the most important thing? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. It's not about how super spiritual. See the air quotes here. It's not about how super spiritual you are. The most important thing is that we love people. That needs to come across in our attitude. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3 says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, And I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. I just got to tell you, you know, most people get pretty impressed with some of these. I have all knowledge and I have faith, I can move mountains. And yet he says, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. See, it's not about how smart you are, how gifted you are, how talented you are, how great you are, how super spiritual you are. If we don't love people, we miss the whole boat. Nobody wants to be around a selfish person. Nobody receives ministry from a critical, judgmental person. No, if we're going to reach people, if we're going to be effective for God, the most important thing is that we love people. I want to remind you that God loves us in spite of ourselves. He loves us and forgives us. And Jesus tells us to love one another as He has loved us. So our attitude ought to always be gracious and kind, even to those who don't deserve it. You know, one of my struggles, I think, sometimes is I think I'm too busy to be gracious and kind and loving. You know, I find myself passing by on the other side of the street like the Levite. It's so important that we have a loving attitude in everything that we do. So I encourage you this morning, when you read the Bible, allow it to adjust your attitude. How do you do that? How do you change your attitude? Well, you got to choose to. And you got to use the Bible because you want a biblical attitude. And to do that, you've also got to change your old thought patterns. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray, and I'd like for our prayer partners to go ahead and come. Father, I just thank you for your word to us today. I thank you, Lord, that you never give up on us, but Lord, you are always reaching. You're always working. And Lord, I just pray that this morning, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, where we need to change. Show us by your Holy Spirit and speak to our hearts, Lord. And Father, may we not count it as a small thing, oh, but to know that you are doing an eternal work in our lives, but also through us. And Father, we just pray that if there's anything in us that's hindering, Lord, what you want to do, Lord, that you would help us to change it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.